Thanks for tuning in to this week's message. For more resources and information about Cedar Valley, please visit cvchurch.org.
We're going to get right to it this morning. We are wrapping up our series, the I Am series, today. And so we'll be reading out of the book of John, chapter 15. So if you would stand to your feet, turn to John, chapter 15, as we prepare to wrap up our series this morning. If you are with us today and you do not have a Bible, we want you to know that we've purchased Bibles for people who come and don't have a Bible. They're placed out on the tabletops in the lobby. There's versions in English and Spanish, so be sure to grab the correct one for you. But it's free from us to you. Take it, write in it, highlight it, keep it close to you. It's just a gift from us to you. This will also be the last time we stand. We won't stand every time we read from the Bible, but we do for our primary text because it's a reminder for us that this is God's word. This is not man's word. This is God's word, and we believe that it's written for them then and for us now. So we're going to read out of the book of John, chapter 15. We're going to read all the way through 11. So I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. John 15, verse 1. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Verse 5. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. Verse 7. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. Verse 10. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. Let's pray. God, for the next 25 minutes, we ask that you would speak to our hearts. Let these not be my words, but Holy Spirit, may they be your words. We know that only by your power can the heart of man be turned soft. So we give you permission to speak to us, to speak directly to us, so much so that when we drive away from here, we would say, that was God himself speaking to me. And so I pray, Holy Spirit, you would answer the questions that we're asking, that you would soften our heart and hearts, that you would open our ears, that you would open our eyes. Do a work in us, we pray, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. So, repetition, teachers in the house, all the teachers in the house, as we were reading through these 11 verses from John chapter 15, you notice repetition, two themes, bearing fruit and remaining, right? And teachers, all you who know, if there's repetition, that means something important is being stated, right? There's an important point trying to be made by the writer, to bear fruit and to remain, bear fruit and remain, bear fruit and remain. So that's going to be exactly what we talk about this morning, bearing fruit and remaining, right? And you notice here the metaphors and stories or parables Jesus often used. And here he's using a metaphor that the disciples would have been very, very familiar with. I mean, really, he is speaking their language. Grapevines and grapes were a part of the produce were grown all throughout Jerusalem. Matter of fact, I went to JJ's office this week knowing this was our passage. I'm like, are there any songs that have to do with grapes? And that's when he's like, oh, new wine, that'd be perfect. So yeah, no, it was not planned at all. But yeah, we're talking about grapevine, the true grapevine this morning. And here Jesus kind of having this intimate conversation with his disciples in the upper room. I mean, just moments before he'll be arrested, betrayed, arrested, and beaten, crucified, dies, and comes back to life. Like, this is about to take place. Jesus pulls his disciples in closer for an intimate final charge, right? And he stirs the hearts of his disciples to bear fruit and to remain in him. So for us, here's the question that I think we're asking that Jesus in this passage is answering, and that is, how do I live a fruitful life? Bear fruit and remain. How do I actually do that? How do I live a fruitful life? And when we say fruitful, we mean effective, right? Or a purposeful. How do I live an effective life? And what does it actually mean to be fruitful? What does that mean? Does it mean nice things? Does it mean nice places? Does it mean a nice schedule? Does that mean that we have a fruitful life? And maybe the question is, how do I actually do that? How do I live a fruitful life? Maybe that's a good paying job. That's one way, right? Maybe it's multiple jobs, a good paying job with a good second paying job. Or maybe it's just winning the lottery. That's one way to get to a fruitful life. There's a lot in this room that divides us. There's a lot in this room that divides us. But most of us, what we really want, one thought that unites us all, for the most part, is that we want a life that lasts. We want a life filled with real joy and real purpose, like effectiveness. We want to live a life that is effective, right? We want strong marriages. We want a strong marriage, especially if we've had a marriage filled with pain and suffering and turmoil and tension. We long for a strong marriage. We long for healthy relationships. We want healthy relationships, peace of mind. Many of us in the room, we want healing from past wounds. We want to get to the place where we can say, we are healed from our past. We want freedom in life today. That's what we desire. We want restful nights. We want to sleep well. We want to laugh. We want to enjoy each other's company. Jesus, I believe, answers the question, how do I live a fruitful life in this passage? Now, this morning's message, so you know, includes some participation on your end. Because I truly believe that the Holy Spirit wants to do a work in your heart and for sure in my heart. And there are things that the Holy Spirit will say to you. He'll whisper into your heart today that I would never be able to say. I have no idea what's happening in your life. But we believe that God knows everything about our life. He knows everything that's happening in your life today, every single detail, right? So there's going to be some opportunities for you to engage with God during the message. And I trust that God is going to speak to you. John 15, verse 1 says, I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. It's important for us to know in this metaphor that God is the gardener, Jesus is the vine, and you and I, we are the branches, right? God is the gardener. He's the gardener. Jesus is the vine. You and I, we are the branches. There are so many different grapevines in life that we attach ourselves to. This is why Jesus says, I am the true grapevine. We have to be careful. We have to be careful that our idols, that our hobbies, that our habits don't become the things that we connect our lives to, because we'll be disappointed every single time. It is so important that we take Jesus at his word and we believe that he is the true, true grapevine. John 15, 2 says, he cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that they'll produce even more. So in this verse, branches that do not bear fruit, they're just cut off. And the branches that are bearing fruit, they're pruned so that they can bear even more fruit. It is the heart It is the heart of God that we would bear much fruit, good fruit. If our lives are producing fruit, you need to know that it is the heart of our Father that we would bear even more fruit. Now, here we know that we've been having some storms, right? So as the rain has fallen and as the winds have blown, you come to a yard filled with branches, right? And so we get annoyed and we have to go and collect the branches, the dead branches that have fallen from the tree, and we have to go and throw them into the trash. And we have absolutely no heart for the branches whatsoever. As a matter of fact, maybe we're even annoyed. Here they are again. I just picked up the branches yesterday. Son, go out there and pick up the dead branches once again. That is not the heart of our Father. That is not the heart of our Father whatsoever in this metaphor. Every branch matters to our Father. Every branch matters to God. You matter to God. If you're not bearing fruit, He doesn't want to discard you. He wants to pick you up and put you back on the vine. That's the heart of God. Of course, if it's not bearing fruit, discarding the branch in this metaphor makes sense. Throw it away, throw it away, throw it away. But I love how He includes every believer, because here's a known fact. The best trees and the best plants need pruning. That means that every person sitting in this room right now, if you've been serving God your whole life, or if you're on your second week, you need to know you need pruning so that you can continue to bear good and much fruit. I think that's a great place for us to start with a moment of prayer. Would you close your eyes? Let's take a moment and pray. Let's pray this from a fresh place. God, I've heard this story a million times. I've heard this analogy, this metaphor a million times. It'd be so easy for me to just say, well, I've heard this. I'm very familiar with it. I understand it. I need to stay attached to the vine. But God, I believe you want to help us by surfacing things in our lives that need pruning. Maybe you've been trying to do that. We haven't allowed you to do that. It makes sense that the broken branches, the branches that are dead, that have been broken off the vine, would be tossed. That makes sense. Thankfully, that's not your heart, that you would discard us when we're broken, when we fall off, when the storms of life get the best of us. That's not your heart. So thank you for that. And I believe you're speaking to our hearts right now, saying, I'm not going to throw you away. I know you're broken. I know the storms of life have taken hold of you. I know, I saw, I feel it. I'm with you. I love you. I'm not gonna throw you away. Some of you need to be reminded, you are not gonna be thrown away. God will not throw you away. That is not the heart of the gardener. But also for those of us in the room who've been serving you and serving you, God, prune away the things in our lives that need to be removed. The parts in me that you see can be better. The parts in me that need some attention. Yeah, I might be good in some areas of my life, but there's some areas of my life that need attention. God, only you can do that work. I can't do that work, but you can do that work. So I ask you to do that work in me. In Jesus' name. We continue John 15:4. The verse says, remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. A branch not connected is dead. And you might be asking this question this morning. Why do I feel dead inside? Maybe not right now. But come Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you're driving 494 and you just start to have these thoughts. Man, I'm just living life going through the motions. I don't feel much these days. Nobody's calling to see how I'm doing. If I don't make the call, no one seems to call me. Things have just kind of seemed to go idle in my life. Why is it that I feel like I'm withering away? Jesus says here, it's because you are severed from the vine. Maybe not fully severed, but you're severing from the vine. You're falling off the vine. It is our duty to remain in Jesus, because we know that's where life comes from. That's where life flows from, right? So if you're feeling in this moment perhaps withering away, dead inside, it's because we're disconnected from the vine. Every branch that is severed from the vine falls off, no fruit. And that is not what we want. We don't want to live a life that doesn't bear good fruit. We don't want to live a life where we are not remaining in Him. We don't desire that. Close your eyes for just a moment. God, I want to remain in You and You in me. I see the areas in my life that are withering away. Maybe not completely severed, but I'm not too far away from that. I'm broken, but I want to bear fruit in my life. I want to rewrite my story. I want to outlive my past. I want to get back to those moments when I spent time in prayer. I want to get to that time in my life when I was so invested in Your Word. I was hungry and thirsty for Your Word. God, I'm withering away. Help me. Help me. John 15:5 says, "Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." A lot of repetition. Bear fruit and remain. Bear fruit and remain. Apart from God, you and I can do nothing. However, those who stay connected, those who weather the storms, endure the winds of life, those are the ones that bear fruit. We know that in the life of a believer, you are right in the middle of a battle. You are exiting a battle, or you are right about to go into a battle. That's the life of a believer. And we as branches, we have to weather the storms of life, stay connected to the vine so that we can bear good fruit in our life, so that we can bear much fruit in our life. And if we are ever severed from the vine, we can do absolutely nothing. I believe that many of you would say, I have been severed from the vine at points in my life, and in those moments, I am completely powerless. I can do nothing apart from God. And maybe the reminder for you today is, I don't want to live my life separated from God's love. I don't want to live my life outside of the power of God at work in my life. Here, Jesus, about to exit, about to go and be arrested. This is His final farewell to His disciples. He calls His disciples in close. And this is the metaphor He chooses. This is His final talk to His team of disciples. He pulls them in close. And He emphasizes two things, bearing fruit and remaining. And in this point, He says, listen, apart from me, apart from me, apart from me, you need to know you can do nothing. He's preparing them for the time when He will be no more with them. And this is what He chooses to say. I wonder, what is it that He's choosing to say to you today through this metaphor? He's calling you in close at this point in your life. He's calling you in close at this point in your life, and He is saying, listen to me. I desire that you would bear fruit, much fruit, good fruit, and that you would remain in me. Choose me. Choose me. I am the true grapevine. There's a lot of things, a lot of places, a lot of people that you can choose to connect yourselves to, but please connect to me. If you do that, you will weather the storms of life. You will bear fruit in your life. Would you close your eyes for a moment? What a reminder in this moment that you yourself, Jesus, would say to us that apart from you, nothing of lasting value will be a part of our life. sometimes we take for granted our relationship with you. We take for granted the opportunity we have to know you. Days go by, weeks go by, months go by. We haven't spent any time with you. The heart of a gardener is that his plant or his tree would bear much fruit. That's the heart of the gardener. And God, the heart that you have for us is that we would do the same thing. And oftentimes, you don't even have our attention. Sometimes I find myself trusting in me more than I find myself trusting in you. And you are the true grapevine, not anything else, nobody else, nothing else. So forgive me for that. Forgive me for taking for granted the opportunity I have to be with you every day, to remain in you and you remain in me. Because nothing in this world that matters to me, nothing will come my way if I'm not connected to you. Because apart from you, I can do nothing. Apart from God, you and I will never accomplish what it is God has for us. I love how in our prayer time with the graduates, part of Neil's prayer was that we would come to terms with what God is doing in my life, in your life. And we need to know, graduates especially, that apart from God, you can do nothing. Apart from God, you and I can do nothing of lasting value. Our power comes from our connection to God. John 15:6 says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." You know, in these days, it was common for the people to choose the rabbi. Here, Jesus, the rabbi, says, "I choose you, the people. I choose you. You've been selected. You've been chosen by God." I love the verse that says, "Even when we were sinners, Christ died for me. When I wasn't thinking about him, he was thinking about me. When you weren't thinking about him, when you're not thinking about him, he is thinking about you." That's the difference. The heart of this gardener is he doesn't want to throw any branch away. No, he doesn't want to throw a branch away at all. He loves every branch. It hurts him to see broken branches. That's the heart of the gardener in this story. You and I, we ain't good. But he is good. The heart of God is good. God, thank you that you chose me. Thank you that you chose us. Even when we were sinners, Jesus, you came and died for us. You chose us. You chose me. He chose you. Can I remind you today? He chose you. He knows you. He knows everything about you. He loves you. This gardener actually pursues us. He's pursuing you. He's pursuing you today. You can't leave today without knowing God is pursuing you. He is pursuing you because he loves you. He wants to remain in you and you remain in him. He wants you to produce good fruit. It's his heart that you would produce good fruit, much fruit in your life. That's his heart for you. That's his heart for your children. That's his heart for your family. That's his heart for this church, that we would bear much fruit and we would remain in him and he remain in us. You can't leave today without knowing that the heart of this gardener is that you, the branch, would bear much fruit, fruit that would last. You appointed us. You've chosen us to be people on a mission to live with purpose. God, what a privilege to be picked by you. John 15:8 says, when you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. I love this peace. Because a fruitful branch can only point to the power of God. When a tree is a fruitful tree, when a plant is fruitful, it kind of points to the ability of the gardener. Because he's the one that did the hard work of pruning back branches that weren't bearing much fruit. He's the one that did the hard work of working the tree so that it would produce much fruit. You know what this says to me? Is that when I bear fruit in my life, when I remain close to the heart of God, my life actually points people to Jesus, to the gardener who's doing the work in me. Nothing I can do for myself. If there's anything good in me, it ain't because of me. If there's anything good in you, it's not because of anything good in you. It's because of the goodness of the gardener. He's the reason why my life produces fruit. He's the reason why your life has the ability to produce good fruit, even if there's been moments in your life where you weren't producing good fruit. Maybe you're sitting in the room today and say, honestly, there's no fruit on my branches. Like, there's no fruit on my branches. There has not been good fruit on my branches for a long time. If somebody were to write me a thank you card, I don't know what they'd say thank you for. That's my life. I want you to know God's here today. He will rewrite your story. Your tree can be filled with good fruit, a fruit that lasts. That's the heart of the gardener for you. He's an expert of taking trees that have been withering away and bringing them back to life. You ever read that without vision, people perish, right? This gardener has a vision for your life, and he can take that withering branch of yours and bring it back to life. God, in this moment, I want my life to be evidence of your power at work in me. I want the fruit of my life to point to the heart of the gardener. I want the evidence of your power at work in my children, in my spouse, in my family, my friends. Even in my struggles, may people see Jesus in me. Can you pray that? God, even in my struggle, may people see Jesus in me. Even in my struggle, in my pain, in my suffering, when I'm in the middle of a storm, when things are going my way, when the rain is flying sideways, may people see Jesus in me as I fight this disease, as I work on my marriage, as I go and visit my therapist. May people see Jesus in me. May they see the heart of the gardener. May they see the heart of the gardener. You might ask, what does bearing fruit look like? Paul in Galatians 5 says that here is the fruit of the Spirit. Here's the fruit that grows on the branch of a believer. He says it's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the fruits that grow on the branches of believers. We can do the hard work of growing some of this fruit in our life, allowing the Holy Spirit to work in us. So that way we are filled with love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's interesting, this word remain, it's one of our two focuses this morning, bearing fruit and remaining. It's repetitive, 9 times mentioned in our passage. It must be important. Remaining means literally to live. To live. That's what remain means. Last week in Neil's message, he said, home is where the heart is. Home is where the heart is. Well, if I live in Christ. That means that my home is not even a structure or an address, a physical address. It's Jesus. I am to live in Jesus and Jesus live in me. It's my place of permanent dwelling. He is my constant. He is my shelter. He is my safe place. He is my place of rejuvenation. The way some of you desire to go back to your home because your home is your safe place. That's the kind of heart God has for you, that we would remain in him, that he would be the home where my heart is, the place that I run to, my place of safety. He is my shelter. He is my strong tower. This is what Jesus is really saying when he says to remain in him. Here's what he really means. He means that Jesus is to be all of those things for us. That he is our constant. He is where we find rest and rejuvenation and nourishment. That he is where we need to live. He is our shelter, our comfort. He is our strength. Every single branch connected to the vine needs nourishment and strength in order to bear fruit. We cannot bear fruit unless Jesus is our constant dwelling. We need him constantly. Say, I need Jesus constantly. Would you say that? Not just for a couple minutes. My friend, listen, 30 seconds before every meal will not sustain you. We need him consistently and constantly, not just a feeding once a week right here at service, or even a few weeks a month. That will not sustain you. Jesus died so that you can have direct connection to him. Our relationship with him goes far beyond our experience in the room on Sunday mornings. To remain in him means to live in him. To live in him. So, now back to the metaphor. The grapevine has branches. And the branches need nutrition. There's this term. You wouldn't be familiar with it. Only people like me who garden regularly would be familiar with this word. So I'm going to teach you a word. It's called phloem. Say phloem. Phloem, and I just wrote this down so I wouldn't have to memorize it, but these are my words. I didn't get this from a dictionary. But it says phloem is the living connective tissue in vascular plants that transports the soluble organic compounds made during photosynthesis and known as the photosynthates. I know these are difficult words for you, but I'll explain. In particular, the sugar sucrose to the rest of the plant. This transport process is called translocation. That's what phloem is. So in this metaphor, the phloem is the Holy Spirit. It is the connective tissue that transports nutrition from the vine through the branch. So it'd basically be like taking two pieces of land separated by water, building a bridge. And as the bridge is over two pieces of land, the land begins to fuse together and they become one. Imagine crossing the Cedar, and over the course of the next year, the land becomes connected. That's what the Holy Spirit's role is in this metaphor. That the vine, Jesus, the branch, me and you, become fused together through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit transfers the nutrition, transports it from the vine to the branch. And it's just this ongoing thing of him remaining in me and me remaining in him. And why can I have strength in the storm? Because it's not me, it's not my power, it's the Holy Spirit that continually brings the nourishment that I need to stay sustained in my life. Do you know that the Holy Spirit wants to give you the power to bear fruit? The Holy Spirit wants to give you the power, the nutrition, the strength you need to bear fruit in this life. We do Big So What's together. This is our teaching team kind of works on this, and we came to a tie. This is the one that is Hillary in the room by chance? Hillary, are you in the room? No. This was her so what. It's not on the screen. It says this. She said, what about bear fruit and remain so you don't go insane? But Neil had a better one. This is our big so what for this morning. Here's what we need you to have in your mind all week long. all week long, here's what you need to have in your mind. This needs to stay in your brain all week long. It's this: choose the divine vine every time. You're going to choose something. You're going to connect to something or someone. Jesus said, I am the true grapevine. I am the true, the one, the only, the greatest of the great. I am the true grapevine. Choose the divine vine every time. The difference in this, the point of this is the divine. Choose Jesus. Choose Jesus every time. The next time you find yourself at an important decision, choose Jesus. The next time you have to make a critical call, choose Jesus. Take a moment, close your eyes and say, Jesus, I need you right here. Holy Spirit, what is that? What is that? God, help me, lead me, guide me, because I want my life to reflect the heart of the gardener in this situation. I want my life to reflect you in this moment. Choose the divine vine every time. A vine can live without a branch, but a branch can never live without a vine.